Okay. Hey, everybody. I know there's a bunch of you guys here on Zoom. We're going to get started over here. Welcome. Welcome. You have the safe in front of you? Okay. So I wanted to jump into this. So my name is, for those of you who may not know who I am, my name is Adam Aronov. Technically, it's Rabbi Adam Aronov. I learned in the Jerusalem Kollel under Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz. And I'm part of an organization locally here in Chicago called Avodas HaLev, where it's basically a Torah outreach program. We just teach Torah to the community, to really anyone within the community. We focus on Pnimius HaTorah, but really trying to invigorate the community and focus on really building our Avodah Shebelev. So that's me. Now, this sugya that we're going to be going into is Shavuot. I'm sure everyone here has heard the word before in some level. If not, generally what it means is, basically what it means is Shevimim stands for, it's Rashi Tevis, of the parashas that we're starting now. It's Shemais, Ve'erabai, B'shalach, Yisrael, Mishpatim. And these are parashas of Galus and Geula. These are parashas where we start focusing on tshuva. And it's more obviously of a focus in more Kabbalah-minded communities, Hasidic communities, but it also was a focus in Litvish communities, different Rabbanim, different Tzaddikim were dealing with it in different ways. And I personally connect to the Nesiva Shalom's way. And Nesiva Shalom also is a sefer that is very, very popular out there. And he has written also small little contrasim, small little, I guess we call like, you know, a series of essays on different topics outside of his regular set of Svarim. So for those of you who can't see, this is the Sefer that we're going to be using. I don't know if that's backwards for you or not. But it's Nesiva Shalom on Shoivivim. You can pick it up at most bookstores. I actually got a bunch here from online, from Z. Berman Books. They have them for $8.50. It's not too expensive. But that's the Sefer we're going to be using. And to talk specifically about what the Nesiva Shalom is going to be focusing on in Shoivim, I want to jump into what Inyanei Kedusha really means before we get going. And this will only take a few seconds, and then we'll get right into it. Excuse me. Okay. So in Shoivim, there's a minhag for different people to learn Hilchas Nida. And Shoivim, there's a minhag to go through those things, to review that. There's also a minute to go to do, it's like another time of year to focus on tshuva in any area, not any specific area, but could be tshuva in any area. But we're going to be focusing on Inyanei Kedusha, and specifically, we're going to be talking about Shmiras Einayim and Shmiras Habris. So the way we're going to do it in the Sefer, there's little kind of, there's sections, paragraphs, letters. We're going to read through it together on the Sefer. If you don't have it, then I really recommend you getting it, getting the Sefer, because we're going to be going through it for the next 6 weeks. I want to not just learn the Sefer, but I also want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from you, comments, questions. And also, what I'm actually most curious about is how you all figure out your strategies for dealing with Shmiras Hayinayim and Shmiras Habris. Now, what exactly is Shmiras Einayim, Shmiras Habris? I want to make sure we get it very clear. I mean, obviously, Nesiva Shalom uses a Lashon Naki. It's a very clean language. I'm going to use some technical terms now at the get-go, just so we know we're all on the same page. But Shmiras Einayim refers to guarding our eyes from anything visual. And this is really specifically visual that would elicit lust or desire in a person. We're obviously focusing only on men over here, so it would be something that would raise a sexual desire for the opposite sex. I guess in particular cases, it might be someone is dealing with a personal nisayon of dealing with same-sex attraction. But these all fall under the same kind of categories of visual attraction and how we have to be careful. So this could be anything from someone who is super, super careful and then all of a sudden sees a vision of something potentially inappropriate for whatever their level is, and then all the way up to someone actually actively going and looking for material to look at that is not appropriate. So that would be all fall under Shmiras Einayim and Shmiras Habris. And this is also my personal, this is not the Siva Shalom's definitions. These are my personal definitions. If anyone wants to add to these definitions, I'll give you a chance at a second. I'd love to hear your take on it. And Shmir Sabris is literally that it's the act of lust. So the Shmir Sanaim is the visual engagement with lust. The act Shmir Sabris is really the act of lust. And it's also, it's protecting our Aver. It's holding ourselves back from acting out in a physical way, whether it is through just letting ourselves get all flushed and feeling that desire fill our system, right? And that's where like Shmir Sanaim and Shmir Sabris kind of work very much hand in hand. But it can go obviously vaite, where someone is taking it to the next physical action, and that would be masturbating, shechazer levatela, mitzizer levatela. That those areas. Again, I'm just using the technical term now, so we're very clear. But we're probably going to stick with our lashonaki throughout the rest of the limud here. And then obviously taking it even further, if someone is in a licit relationship with a woman that he's not supposed to be, and he's having a physical relationship in an unkosher way. Obviously, the only kosher way is through a kosher marriage. Speak to your Rav exactly how that's going to play out for you in a particular situation. And those are really our definition of terms. And before we go on, I'd like to know if there's anyone in the chevra that's listening, if anyone has any other thoughts they feel they want to add to those definitions, what could be constitute Shmir Sanaim, Shmir Sabris? Anybody? Are we all good with the, did I go too far? Anyone? if you leave, I'll know that I went a little too far there, but I don't think I did. Okay. All right. So we're going to go further. Before I get into the first part of this, there's one more hakdama I think I need to make. And this is actually a very important hakdama, because This sugya talking about Shmir Sa'ainaim and Shmir Sabris can very easily come along with the whole reason why we get into these problems to begin with, which is the shame and the guilt cycle, right? You know, this is not a whole shiur or a therapy session on what shame is and how it's caused in therapy, but it is very important to know that a lot of that does tie into it. And if a person does have a particular issue, if they feel that they're dealing with an addiction, a compulsion to engage in issues that involve Shmir Sanaim, Shmir Sabris, I highly, highly recommend, please speak to a professional therapist on this. If anyone wants information about how to be referred to that, or anyone knows somebody who's not here, because obviously everyone here is very, very holy. But anyone here knows someone who needs and you'd like information how to help that person, feel free to get in touch with me privately, and I can try to direct you to the right place. But all in all, though, this discussion always carries along with it a lot of that, like, I'm a bad person. I used to, you know, we were all kids, we're all teens, and maybe not when we were teens, maybe when we were adults. You know, we've all maybe done things that we shouldn't have, or maybe it's just me. And as Katani last year, we've maybe done things that we shouldn't have. And it's very easy to have that weight of shame and guilt just sitting on our shoulders. And when we start talking about klipas and the dangers and the pagam and like our disconnect from Torah and mitzvahs and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what could easily end up happening is that those feelings can actually cause us to fall more or fall again. Also, it'll just shut us down from learning what we need to learn. And I was zoiche to have Rabbi Daniel Kalish to meet him this week. So we're here in Chicago, but Rabbi Daniel Kalish was my Rebbe back in Waterbury before he started the high school there. And I was in his first year shiur. And it was really amazing to have the relationship. And he came to Chicago to speak. And the first thing he spoke about, and I think this is so, so important, it's very much a Rabbi Kalish. If anyone knows who Rabbi Kalish is, it's very much his type of thing to say. But it's extremely important to know that every Yid, if you really knew what a Yid was, if you really understood, if you could peel back all the layers of the labels and what kind of yarmulke someone's wearing, what kind of shirt they're wearing, what kind of background they're from, if you could pull all of that away and just like, what is a Yid? And if we really were able to see that, we would instantly fall madly in love with every single Jew we meet. Every single one. Every single Yid is a galaxy of R. Every single Jew is like full of light. And if we would just take a minute to like let our, and it's mostly our own baggage that prevents us from seeing the it, right? It's not like I have to peel the layers away on the other person. They're just doing their thing, right? It's me like pulling the layers that I've put over my eyes. Like, oh, we didn't go to the same yeshiva. We don't daven in the same kind of shul. He has this label on him. He's that, like, he wears this kind of clothing. He wears that kind of clothing. He has that thought process. And I have my thought process, my mahalach, his hashkafa. It's my own baggage that doesn't allow me to really see.
It's more like people have certain habits, certain characteristics that could turn me off, you know.
Right, but that's the thing. Who's getting turned off? Like, who's causing the turnoff? When you meet another Yid, right, and you see that they're a little bit different than you, right, and you make a judgment in your head, that's a bad thing, right? That's a bad thing. That kind of Jew, like, that's not my type of Jew. I like davening here. I like davening in the shul. And, you know, that those guys davening in that shul, it's not for me. Who's making that judgment?
We are.
It's that judgment's happening. It's all living in my own head. That's where it is. It's not actually what's going on with that other guy. It's all happening here.
Well, what kind of clothes they wear? Like, I get along with pretty much everyone in the shul.
No, sure.
But some of them are. Some have funny characteristics or habits that turn me off.
Yeah,
be cleanliness problems also.
100%. There could be what you would call quote unquote legitimate reasons why I got to stay away from a particular guy.
No, I don't hate the person, but...
Yeah, well, I'm not even talking about that, but just like, that's not for me. But if we would stop and realize, like, there's the person, and then there's me seeing the person, and then there's my own judgment, like, interpreting, like, maybe like you said, like, the person's just not, doesn't have good hygiene, right? So, but now I'm interpreting that's a bad thing. So it could just be just what it is. It just is, right? Maybe not the way I would do it. I would prefer, there's a preference. It's like maybe a preference versus like a visceral reaction against. It's like, I would prefer him not to do that. But like the fact that it's bad is really only happening up here. That's really where I'm coming from. So I want to say the same thing over here when we're going into the sugya. And I know we're kind of taking a little bit of a detour from the actual meat. And I know you guys want to get into the juice of Inyan and Kedusha. But I think it's very, very important to start. And not only is it very important, if you have the sefer in front of you, if you open to the first piece, it's not really a hakdama. It's a letter that he wrote. It's a letter that the Solanim Rebbe wrote to his bacharim in his yeshiva. And it starts off, Mikhtav Bnei HaYeshiva, Likras Shoivivim Tav Shinnun. Right? It's a letter to the Bnei Yeshiva regarding Shoivivim and the year Tav Shinnun. And the first line he says, And this line really opened me up and really ties into like the whole mahalach of Rabbi Kalish was trying to explain, is that whatever we're about to learn, however dark we go, however much guilt and shame we start drudging up from the depths, leman chai v'reyai adabna shalom uvracha. And interesting, he doesn't say what the actual pasuk says. He just says he ends with uvracha, but for the sake of my brothers and friends. Please, right? Please speak words of blessing and bracha and peace. That's it. That means, you know, whatever background you came from, however bad you are, and I just want to quote Rabbi Nachman, however bad you think you are, because I don't want to say how bad you are, because that's a judgment. However bad you think you are is your own judgment that you're having on yourself. And Rabbi Nachman says that, you know, even the person who is holding the knife that just murdered somebody has the opportunity to still reach out to Hashem and connect. So obviously I don't recommend murdering anybody or doing any of these issues that we're going to be talking about, but you have such ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a deep way. And truth be told, sometimes that deep connection can only happen after a fall. And we're going to talk about that in the Sefer a little bit. So with that whole preamble, I hope I didn't talk everyone's ear off too much. I sometimes tend to. And if I am talking someone's ear off, please maybe get me a message or let Jake know tell me afterwards. Okay. But we're going to dive right into the Sefer. And again, I really recommend it's the Sefer Nesivas Shalom on Shavim to get a copy for yourself if you're not here. And if you do want to come join us here in Chicago, I will have a few copies available for you to keep to take home as a souvenir for you, to Chazar. Okay, so Rachis, now we're just reading the letter that he wrote to his Bachurim. L'mana chavraya, adama shalim bach, dabrana shalim uvracha, Rachis moida ani lefonecha. I want to first thank, moida ani lefonecha, I want to thank you, Hashem Elokeinu, al kol hachesed asher asisa imali, that on all the kindness that you did for me, the asher ata asid lasais imi, and that I know in the future you're going to continue to do to me. This is how we talk about Kedusha. This is the first thing. We're Hashem runs the world, and Hashem has given us things, and truth be told, none of it we deserve.
Right.
At the end of the day, like if we're going to call spade a spade. So we start, that's where we start. This is where the Solana Rebbe starts. V'rak me'eis Hashem, and only from, it is from Hashem, ha'yisazayis ki bein tayim eni yachad li yasa, yitchem yachad b'yamim ha'gdoin lemo elu, and it's really for now, he's not, apparently, I don't know exactly what the history was, but he wasn't able to be in the yeshiva during this time of Shoivivim, so he's feeling badly about that, and he's not able to be there during this whole preparation time. I'm going to be using these letters that I'm writing as a way to be, inspire the weight and the importance of the day. Okay, so now we're getting into the meat of here. Zachti Yishivaseinu Kadosh Me'es Husada Shamidas Inyan Shevivim Liyamim Merkezim Shebishana. We were zeicher from the beginning of the foundation of the yeshiva, of this yeshiva that he built, that it was set up that Shevivim was a major focus. That the days of Shevivim Merkazim Shebashana, they were central days in the year. Liyamim Shebehem Mesugul is Karv Lavoid Hashem, because these are days that are Mesugul, it's really, I don't know what a good word for Mesugul, but like fortuitous times. It's important. I don't know a good English word, but it's Mesugul. It's good for lehiskar v'levoides Hashem, to come close to avoides Hashem, u'sakan v'hem asa pegamim, and to fix these pegamim. And for anyone who doesn't know, just the word pegam is like some kind of blight or damage that is caused by certain behaviors that we do, spiritual damages, spiritual blights. It's these pegamim, how you do them, that these, you know, obviously there's a lashon naki of like all these issues that we face regarding Shemir Sanaim and Shemir Sabris. And also how we deal with it, al yidei shkida atzuma b'torah shebaalpeh, that we immerse ourselves deeply into learning Torah shebaalpeh. And Chazal established this foundation. Shama Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the Chazal said that Akash Baruch Hu says Barasi Yitzhara Ubarasi Literary Tavlin, that Akash Baruch Hu creates the Yitzhara, and Hashem is saying to us, right? I created the Yitzhara, but I didn't just leave you out to dry, right? Barasi Literary Tavlin. I created Torah as a spice, as a medicine. There's different pshatim on what this is, and we're going to go later into it in the Sefer. But the key focal point is that Torah is the answer. Torah is the answer. Now, how is it the answer? We're going to get into it. But Torah is going to be the answer to Pegamim Bris. And again, I want to make, again, a side point. If anyone is dealing in the world of addiction, this does not apply. I'm going to be very careful. Addiction, we're talking about a whole different area. And again, this is not what the Solanim Rebbe said. It's me saying it. So maybe I'm wrong. It's possible. But the little bit I know about the situation of addiction that many, many people face is that you're dealing with like what would could be considered some kind of a sickness or disease. It's like more, it's like maybe like a mental illness, but it's not really a mental illness. It's something that obviously the person brought upon themselves due to certain circumstances in their life. But you get into a matzah, you get into a situation where you can't just learn Torah and it's going to go away. And even if you learn the deepest, you know, Kabbalah, if you're in this cycle of addiction, which is a very complex place to be, it's very, very important that you're getting professional help. It's extremely important that you're getting access to that. Okay, so with that being said, Ubamaimer, Harbeinu HaKadosh Me'apta, the Apta Rav, Shkasa Ba'ev Yisrael, he wrote in his Sefer, Ba'ev Yisrael, Parshas Vayechi, Ve'al pegam bris kodesh. On this pegam bris kodesh, tiknu kadmoneinu lihis'anus ve'lasis tshuva b'mei parashas sheshoviv'im. That those who came before us, they would fast and they would do tshuva during these times of the parashas of Shoviv'im. V'hine nismatu koyach hadoyres. But since today, like the our general koyach, the strength of the generation, has diminished. We're not able to do these sigufim and these fasting like they used to. And sigufim, you'll see, is like a self-affliction, self-flagellations, different types of things that they would do as like a personal punishment to try to fix this sin. And we're gonna actually talk about what, you know, not to focus on those things specifically, and because our generation is different, it doesn't really work, those things. I'll call them mish yiras Hashem. That anyone who has yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, nagel libay, that is kind of pulling at his heart. Tzarek lis amitz v'lasas tshuva. You have to strengthen yourself, and you got to do tshuva during this time. Ala oven chatoim elu, on these types of chatoim, ki godulhu abagam in esai, because the begam is something very difficult to bear. And we're talking here also, and I think it's going to come clear as we learn more, that we're not talking about a begam that is just like affecting your spirituality, but like you can go about your day. It's like, you know, I'm not suggesting this and recommending this, but you know, someone chas v'shalom goes and eats a cheeseburger. Yeah, we talk about like there's a certain damage that it does to the soul. But Lamaisa, I've met people who've done it, and they go about their day, and they're chill. They still got their vibe about them, right? But something about this has not just a spiritual effect, but also it seems to have like a depletion effect on the person's just whole personality. It tires them out. I mean, it's very, very fascinating. Like the Goyish scientists are starting to catch up with what we knew all along. But I've listened to a lot of talks about scientists figuring out what it does if someone is very, very involved in Pagam HaBris. And there's a real physiological damage that it can cause. The way you think, and it could actually slow down the way you think. It slows down different processes. It raises cortisol in your bloodstream, which is a catabolic hormone. And it actually, the more cortisol you have, will actually start to fray the DNA strands. There's like a lot of wild stuff that's going on that the science is figuring out, which is very interesting. But not that science is, we already knew this all along. So I don't need science to tell me this, but I think it's important to know. And he's using this lashon. It's not just the chet that you have to do tshuva for. It's too much to bear. I would say he's saying this not just spiritually, but physically as well. And specifically, the time to deal with this is during these weeks of Shavuot. And the main tikkun, like we said before, is immersing yourself in Limud HaTorah Shebaal Peh. Learning Torah Shabbat Peh, ulevar halacha believe in a bir yafa, and to like figure out the halacha or the sugya, whatever you're learning in the Torah Shabbat Peh, and with like full clarity and like full, like libun is like you know, like literally like what we say libun is like when you're koshering an oven, you take a flamethrower and you burn the oven out, right? Like burn the sugya out, like really get like into that place where you understand it clearly. And you're going to now gather all the parts of you that are good, the sparks of holiness, klipas that are hidden, and the klipas, very quick for anyone who needs to know, klipas are literally shells. And it's essentially like the true essence or of holiness can get covered up through distraction and layers of tumah. We're releasing them by learning Torah, and that's the key. There's other ways to do it, but for us, the key way is learning Torah. To remove these, the churches that got swallowed up in the klipas. And that is the ikar tikkun, is to learn Torah, to fix begamei bris kodesh. It was Sefer HaKadosh Charedim, and the Sefer Charedim, Paragimon, Perkei Tshuva, Shebesoifa Sefer Kasa B'Shem HaRizal, it's written there in the name of the HaRizal. Everything we found from the Rishonim that kind of warn or chastise about this oven, and they told us to do these things, sigufin, which are like flagellations, visurim, kashim, and to like go through difficult, painful things, Sheleg, to roll in snow. I know people today still, like in Eretz Yisrael, they would go up to Har Hermon, where there's the only snow in Eretz Yisrael. And like as a callback to the Sigufim, they would roll in the snow there. Again, he's saying, don't do it. The Harulin was, I think this means purging, which means they would throw up. It was like a way to purge. And they would do other kinds of like self-pain.
They would eat, throw up.
I don't know the details of what exactly they did, but it was all different things. They would like not get benefit from the food. So they would, I don't want to go into the specifics because I really don't know. And we're going to find out that we're not supposed to do them. So he says, right, in the Sefer Charedim, based on the Arizal, all those things that people used to do, Loi nizkru ela l'misha ein amal b'tayra, that only goes for people who don't learn Torah. I would never say this, right? Because it sounds not pashut that this is true, like this is the way we understood it. It's like the tzaddikim used to do this. But he says, no, these segufim were for like people who couldn't learn Torah. Avol mi, all right. Avol mi shetayrasa minasai, but someone who is able to learn Torah, v'yodea das v'yirs Hashem, and he has das, and he has yirs Hashem. Again, very strong words against these people who did these flagellations, these things. Zois he takanta. This is the tikkun. To learn Torah, lo yachlish, lo yisbatum etumah, that he shouldn't weaken and he shouldn't abandon any of his learning. Ah, so meaning he should, and we're going to talk about like exactly how he adds to his learning. But what he should do and add during these 6 weeks, ach yoim echad b'shavua yisrachik, he should distance himself one time a week, so six times over the whole course, distance himself from other people, these boided beinoi and beinkoinai, and just seclude himself and just be with himself and with Hashem. And he should just try to connect his machshavis just to Hashem. Yes, so Rav Nachman says to do this every single day, but Rav Nachman didn't invent his voices. This is like they have a very big emphasis on it. But his voices was done, I believe, it was also done by the Litvish tzaddikim. It was done by many, many people. Rav Nachman made a really big focus on it. He says there's something about even just doing it once a week during this time. So it could be that they didn't have a big focus on his voices either, the Slan Machzidim, but during this time they did. They made an extra special effort to do it. And when you do that, when you learn Torah, and then you do this in spite of this once a week, you will be able to add to what, to add according to what he says, wrote, he says that you need to learn 5 hours, belishum hefsek. Dibur be'inyan acher. You need to learn 5 hours without any kind of interruption of any other topic, and that's the tikkun. Chuli nearly shadarze hu inyan nifla hamoyel mizakech u'mechaper. This is a huge inyan that will very much help the situation. Mizakech, it will purify u'mechaper, it will atone. Maybe oisei adam l'tshuva v'chapara ma'ula, and it'll bring someone to like a real perfect level of tshuva and kapara.
How did you get to 5 hours?
So that's the Shurish Avoida. Maybe it's I believe I saw it elsewhere in the Siv Shalmi spoke about this concept of 5 hours. I actually want to make a note about the 5 hours. I have an interesting thought about it. But let's finish the letter. We're almost there.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna make it practical you're right. It's a very good question. 5 hours is not practical. He's talking to B'nai Yeshiva. He's talking to Yeshiva boys.
I mean for myself, I learned like probably 4 hours.
Right. So that's huge that you're able to do 4 hours. Most.
I'm retired, so that was my goal.
Oh, nice. Okay, so that's the move. Oh, you all hearing this? We have our friend over here, who is, I won't say your name because there's a lot of people on here, but we have a friend of yours who is retired and has dedicated his life to learn at least 4 hours every single day, which is a huge thing, and we should all be
zeichet. It comes out that way. It's that.
I'm playing it up, and because I'm not saying your name, then I'm allowed to embarrass you. It's not in public, all right. But at the same time, he's talking to B'nai Yeshiva, which are it's just more available for them. Right. But I was in Yeshiva. 5 hours straight is a little bit of a stretch, even for a Yeshiva guy. And I think that's the point, that it's a stretch. And we'll get into how we can apply this to those of us who can't do 5 hours. But let's jump through this quickly. But I see that Baal Peh, and that the son of Rebbe himself heard that what he added on to this, Shomer Kizeh Bechinas Tainus Mishabbos Shabbos, that when you learn like this, that is kind of getting into the concept of fasting, which they used to do during Shavuot. They said fasting was part of the Tikkunim. So if you learn Beretzifus like this, just consecutively, you'll be mekayim that aspect of fasting the whole week. It's as if you fasted a whole week. La'arik ya'amr kavanu as kedushas hayam shavim lelimud bi'asma rabat yishuv chalachim. So now that we've established that during this time, you got to learn in a very strong level and a lot in these like sections, these 5-hour sections, you believe have sekeshais, that is 5 hours without any interruption. This is really going to help. It's really going to purify you. And not just that, he's going to add actually a very interesting piece. We hear a lot about mem yoyim. If you do certain things for 40 days, daven by the kuzel for 40 days, you're going to get a lot of yeshuas. So shavim is longer than mem yoyim, right? Mem yoyim is about like, well, it's like 5 weeks, maybe five and change, right? But this is like a full 6 weeks. So you're getting a few more days after the mem yoyim. So if you sit through shavim starting today, really, some people say it started last night when they read Shmais by Mincha. But if you really do Beretzifus, and you learn like this, you get even milder Mem Yoyim, and then he goes into a little bit about the importance of Mem Yoyim. Mem Yoyim, he tekufa chashuva b'chayim. It's a really important period of time. This portion of 40 days, sheish boy lishnai says a teva, because when you do something for 40 days, you can actually change your whole nature. V'laver madrega ladrega b'chayim, and you can move midarga ladarga b'chayim. You can move from level to level in life. We saw this about Moshe Rabbeinu. Shebichol pam aliyos el shemayim, hoy arba'im yoyim v'arba'im laila. Anytime Moshe Rabbeinu went up was arba'im yoyim, and for 40 days and 40 nights. Even the second time was 80, but that's 40 and 40. These 40 were very important. It was a change to him and the change to what he was bringing down to Klal Yisrael. This 40 days is like a season or a time period in life to move from level to level. The Noam Elimelech writes in his Tzatzel Katan. It's a very important thing to read, the Tzatzel Katan. Our whole purpose of existence is to break our nature, to break our teva. That's it. That's why we're here. It's my Rebbe used to say this, Rebbe Yitzchak Berkowitz, I learned in the J.G. Kohl. He used to say this, that our whole purpose is to break our midas, to fix our midas. That's our whole existence based on the Ramban. Noam HaMelech says it as well. You could really sum up all of life's purpose is this one task. And when you learn these 40 days in a row consecutively, you can actually change your teva. So you're doing the purpose of your creation by taking these 40-day chunks. And in our case, Shavim is like that extra because you're going malam in a teva, right, with the extra few days. So now this is where I'm going to add in the thing about 5 hours that may not apply to most of us. And if someone who has a nature that they're not able to learn that much, like so much, but if he does work on learning during these 40 days, he should work on learning more than he normally does. Okay? He'll get a special help from Shemayim, that because he's extending himself, even if it's not full 5 hours, but if he's used to learning only an hour, but he tries an hour and 10 minutes, he's extending himself, so he will get a special help from Shemayim, and he'll be able to break his midas that way. And I just wanted to add one point on this, is that there's something interesting about the number five. So I wanted to stick with the number five. And then I remembered this famous story with Rabbi Saul Salanter. And a guy came to Rabbi Saul Salanter and said, I only have 5 minutes to learn. So what should I learn? Should I learn Musar or should I learn Gemara in that 5 minutes? So Rabbi Saul Salanter thought for a minute, and then he says, you have to use 5 minutes and learn Musar, because when you learn Musar, you realize you have an hour to learn, which is true. Maybe one day we'll do a shiur on Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Ar Yisrael, because it's very fascinating. None of the therapists today have anything on Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Whatever, that's a different conversation. But the point is, so the number five for me, and this is just a me thing, stuck in my head. So he's saying that the Sardar Shavoida says you got to do 5 hours straight. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says start with 5 minutes. So maybe there's something about the number five. Number five is connected to the name of Hashem. Number five is there's a lot of special deep Kabbalistic things in the number five. So I would suggest if anyone can't do the full 5 hours, try to set up some kind of limud that is around the number five, to like maybe try to tap into what that Arizal was saying over there, quoted by Sefer Shor Shor Avoda, that, you know, if it's 5 minutes, then it's 5 minutes. And if that's overextending yourself, then do it. Five times two is 10 minutes. Like, it should be some kind of multiple, like how we do with Chai, right? When we're giving tzedakah, do that with the number five. When it comes to learning, push it to 50 minutes. Try to do, as much as you can go that is feasible for you. But I actually take that back. Not feasible. As much as you can go that is extending yourself more than you've done before. And even if it's only extending by 5 minutes, extend yourself. Whatever you're learning in this like type of five thing. All right. So that would be hopefully something you could take away with tonight. And this last little paragraph and we'll end. And I turn to every one of you, my precious B'nai HaYeshiva. Because remember, we just got into some heavy things. It's like real problems if someone's involved in Pagam Bris. But he wants you to know. And again, we're all in his yeshiva right now because we're all learning his Torah. So we're all the B'nai Yeshiva of the Slanim Rebbe. He wants everyone, so all of us are B'nai Yeshiva Yikarim. Ki mei ha-shevim ha-bam, these days of shevim that are coming, aviyu his geisus klolis l'toyra v'oida b'darga givaya. You'll be able to reach levels of Torah that are on such high levels. Chizku v'imsu, strengthen yourselves. V'gam elu shehoyu muznachim v'loy asu chayu, and even those who don't feel like they're able to get it. Yaviyu mipanu mimhusam. You'll be able to turn yourself around. V'im le'achshav emesai, and if you don't work on it, then when? Right? The famous line. V'im le'achshav emesai. And what we brought from the Sefer Charedim based on the Arizal, Shirak Yom Echad Veshvua, make sure also to, during one day during the week, that you should separate yourself from people. This is, it seems like it's the separation from people is the key over here. Don't, and actually I have a thought about how to do that in today's world where there's no separation, there's nowhere to hide. You don't have a forest necessarily to run to on that's easy to get to. But I'll get to that at the end. You need to separate, completely distant, not in your, like if you have a home office or in your bedroom because the kids are still screaming or your wife still is going to try to get in touch with you and your phone's like still there. So like if you're in the daily living quarters of life, this is not really necessarily going to work. So Hini b'mar meshemesh is brought in b'mar meshemesh. The b'mar meshemesh kasav ki defnei aris oyrei shel abesht, based on the teachings of the Besht, Inyan is boided b'makim rachid b'nei adam. There's of this Inyan of being misboided from in a far place from people. Av achar shabesht heiris ha'olam ba'oyre his boidedus. And after the Besht brought to the world, he made known to the world this concept of boidedus, who dafka ben Yehudim gam yachad. And then he brought this to Yehudim. Us, once we do this, us mesugul is boided l'zdavik b'Hashem. Then now it wasn't something that necessarily worked before, but now that the Besht brought it, it seems like this is something that was actually a good tool for us to use, that we can be make ourselves seclude ourselves and be connected to Hashem. And that's what it means. The Shabbosos miyuchedes, these special Shabbosos. Are time for this. Shekol mitziyosin hu dveikus Hashem, because the whole mitzias of these Shabbosos is dveikus Hashem. It's all about connecting to Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu yarz lahavi, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu should just help you lahavi mipana lechay yeshiva to bring you this turnaround in the life of yeshiva b'torah avoda v'skadosh l'teva, and we should be zeicha. V'skadosh l'teva. B'neshama ruach. I think this stands for the neshama, the ruach, the nefesh, ruach, neshama. That your nefesh, ruach, neshama should be uplifted.
Yeah. That's three levels. That's three.
Yeah. So that when you do this, it'll uplift all those layers of your neshama. Wow. And you get a full kind of turning over. And just one thing about being misbited, I used to have a big argument with a friend of mine when we talked about how to do misbites in today's generation. And we all feel, unless your backyard is to a forest and no one will bother you, which some people have that, right? And in Muncie and Lakewood, I know there was some. So we would argue in your own room is not possible to do it if you have kids. Right. So if someone's living on their own, they can do it. But if you have kids, it's hard. Oh, yeah. And we used to go back and forth about it. We found out that for your average guy who doesn't have the home to do it in, your car. But your phone can't be in the car.
Right.
And you can't be listening to radio or podcasts or music or whatever it is.
Okay.
Because there's something about being in a car that like you like just detach from the world. And try to park in a place where people aren't walking by, like in your driveway or in like a, you know, a dead end street or whatever it is. But these things are like more practical than finding a forest. That was our takeaway from that. Before I go, does anyone have any comments, questions? How do you think this should go in the future? Any strategies? And if you got to go,
go.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm ready.
Oh,
yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
More same time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So and if no one has any other questions, tomorrow we'll do the same time, 8:45, and this time the Zoom will be working, right, Jake?